Matthew chapter number 1, Matthew chapter number 1 tonight. Don't often use my tablet as a resource up here to have my sermon notes on, but I couldn't print off the other ones, and so I'm using my tablet. Didn't want anybody to think I was checking the score of the football game. Doesn't really matter. The Steelers don't play till the night, so nothing else really matters. But that's what you see me using my tablet. Sometimes I use it, but not very often. These are the flyers that we're telling you to take with you this week and put up at a senior center, if you're a member of the Y, any place that has a community bulletin board, any type of restaurants or fast food place at your school, wherever it is that we can encourage to get people to come out that Saturday and that Sunday for our Christmas service program. Okay. Tonight we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 1. We're going to look at verse number 18 down to the end of the chapter in just a minute or two. The title of this evening's message is, My Hope is in Thee. My Hope is in Thee. Psalms chapter 39 verse 7, the book of Psalms chapter 39, it talks a lot about the frailty of life. It talks about all some different issues that the psalmist is going through. And at the midst of that passage of scripture, it says, And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And it's all these different things that are going on, all these different problems, how life is frail. It doesn't last very long. But the psalmist is saying, Lord, my hope is in thee. My trust is in thee. My desires is in thee. And there's a difference between normal, everyday hope and biblical hope. So as we look at this, I want to try to encourage us with this thought to have hope, our hope to be in God this Christmas season. A Christian's Christmas should be different than other people's in the world's Christmas. It really should be. A Christian's Christmas should be different than other people in the world's Christmas. As Christians, our focus should not be on negative things that this broken world has to offer. And there's plenty of things that we could be negative in looking at. But like the psalmist says, And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. This Christmas, I think we should reflect on where our hope should be placed. You may say, Pastor, I don't really get what you're getting at. Well, let me explain. Many times, boys and girls and adults and other people make Christmas something that they're expecting. They're hoping for something. Maybe you're hoping for the certain present. And if you don't get it, you're not happy. Maybe you're hoping that it snows. Or like the rest of us, the sane people are hoping it doesn't snow. Maybe you're hoping your family comes. Maybe you're hoping your family doesn't come. And I don't know. But there's a hope. That word, that hope, is described as an expectation, a desire. In a sense, to have a wish, to get or do something, a wish for something to happen, a wish for something to come true, especially something that seems possible or even likely. But that's not what our Christmas season is about. Our Christmas season is about worshiping the Lord. And yes, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with presents. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with celebrations. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with family. There might be something wrong with snow, but I'm not saying there's something wrong with any of those other things. And Christmas has been called the most wonderful time of the year many times because of the hope and excitement that comes with it, the anticipation. But while the Christmas season is a wonderful time for many of these other things, we should never lose sight and focus that God's one in control. And that as I began thinking and looking at the Christmas story, there's many people who did not get what they were expecting that Christmas season. You think about it, Mary preparing for her to be a wife, a spouse of Joseph, probably thinking how great their life is going to be and wondering what their home was going to be like and wondering what all that was going to be like. And she got an appearance from an angelic being. It was something completely different than she was expecting. You think about the wise men. I know it didn't probably happen that when Jesus was born in the manger that the wise men come. We'll tell you about that later. But, you know, they were expecting to find him in a palace and expecting to find him as a king that was anointed and everyone was worshiping him. They found him in a shack. You think about Zacharias and was not expecting to have a child at his older age. And when we come to the story, we're going to look just for a few minutes about Joseph tonight. You can imagine how Joseph must have felt and what Joseph must have thought like when he found out that Mary was with child. And things were not the way that they expected. And their this did not ruin their Christmas. This is just help them put their faith and trust in Christ this Christmas. We can have hope. And the amazing thing is Christmas is such an exciting time for so many other people, but it is a time of hardship and a time of hopelessness for many others. People that maybe don't have the money they want to give gifts. People that don't have family around, or someone who maybe has lost a family member. There's a lot of people that feel like they're hopeless this Christmas season. But as Christians, our Christmas should be completely different, because my hope is in thee. My hope is in God and what God can do. And as we look at the story of Joseph, there's three simple points that I'd like for you to consider tonight. And as we consider these things, make sure our Christmas is a little bit different. Why is that? Because it's not wrapped up in the presents. It's not wrapped up in the tree. It's not wrapped up if it does snow. It's not wrapped up in the fact that the turkey did not turn out. My Thanksgiving is ruined because the turkey got burned. Or my Christmas is ruined because whatever you eat at Christmas, I think you should eat turkey at Christmas. But I know other people eat ham. Other people eat roast beef. Some people eat seafood. I don't think, because once again, it's not wrapped up in that. Just because things do not turn out the way that you anticipate or expect, that does not take away our hope. The word hope in a biblical sense is not to have a wish. This biblical hope is talking about knowing something for certain. When God makes you a promise, it's not a hope that is a wish for or want to get to do something. Instead, a biblical hope speaks of, it's based on the promises of God's word that cannot change, and we can anticipate the future because we have a certain expectation that God will fulfill his promises. So we can believe and trust and have hope that Christ is going to return again. Why is that? Because he made us that promise. We can have hope that God is going to be with us. Why? Because he's told us he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We can have hope no matter what. God has told us he's able to work things together for good. And that is where our hope is found. Our hope isn't found on getting a certain thing or being able to do a certain thing. Or heaven forbid that it might snow on Christmas Day. And that none of those things. It's found on hope. So here's three reasons why we can have hope. These are simple things. The first thing is we can have hope because of his promises. We can have hope because of his promises. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. We have seen the end of the genealogy. And now this gives it from the perspective of Joseph finding out that Mary was with child. Mary, as an espouse to Joseph, is legally married to Joseph. They just have not come together in a physical relationship. In this Jewish culture, they would become a spouse. The father and the husband would work out a deal. Wouldn't you girls love that? Your dad picking out your husband for you, working out a deal for that. And then they become a spouse. They become contracted together. And he finds out that Mary is with child. There's a problem with that. We most understand what that problem is. And Joseph is pondering these things. Look what it says in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. It's coming. It's there. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, which is meaning legally married, just have not come together in a physical relationship, before they came together, she was found with child, the Holy Ghost. Now, if this was a different scenario, a husband could have that woman put to death because it was not his child. And under law, that was something that could and even should have happened. But Joseph has a messenger that comes. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he has a good testimony. Not willing to make her a public example, talking about not bringing her in front of the religious leaders of the day, not wanting to have her stoned, was minded to put her away privily, meaning that he wasn't going to make a public declaration about it, but in my understanding, he was going to break off the relationship. But while he thought on these things, it has been good to think about things and not just react. You know, we pray, we ask God, we seek God. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And once again, that's just mind-blowing to read even today, but could you imagine Joseph there sleeping and contemplating what he should do and looking and understanding what should happen, and God tells him to do something that probably nobody else would have. He says, go ahead and take her to be your wife. And helps and understands that it was of the Holy Ghost. Now, would most people believe this? No. Most people in the community believe this? No. No, this is something that he's going to have to either decide to believe God and by faith respond to it, or believe is what he's feeling. Verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's what Christmas is about. He came to save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, it is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll hop right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that our hope this Christmas season is not found in the tinsel and the toys, not found in the other things, but Lord, our hope is found in you. It's always in you. Believing that even though circumstances might not turn out the way we expect, that you're in control, and that because of your presence and because of your power and because of your promises, we can trust in your plans. Help us tonight to see these wonderful truths as we start this month, that it'd be a month that we bring glory to you. And even though it's a very, very busy season, help us a desire to want to be closer to you at the end of this month than we were at the beginning. So we heard in the song tonight, closer to Jesus. That's what our desire should be. And we're going to have to take steps, Lord, and show us that, remind us that, like we learned this morning, we're not going to be strong unless the Word of God is abiding in us. Help us to grab a hold of that thought. And this year, put you as a priority, even during these very, very busy times, because we understand even then we need you greater than any other time. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things. First thing is we can have hope because of his promises. Look what it says in verse 23. It says, actually verse number 22 opens it up. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So we can have hope in God because of his promises. And I know this is simple, this is basic Christianity, this is Christmas 101, but it's so important to grab a hold of and say, I don't have to let things ruin my Christmas because my hope is not found in weather or family or presents. It's found in Jesus. And Jesus gave us promises. And the promises of God are saying that no matter what happens in this world, I know I can trust in him. You go back and the Old Testament is filled with prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus. Hundreds of years beforehand in Isaiah 7:14 it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that's what it's saying there. Behold, a virgin shall be a child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel. But Isaiah was written hundreds of years beforehand. We can trust in him. We can trust in his promises. We don't have to go out and try to make things happen on our own. God has told us he will take care of us. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old everlasting and from everlasting. Same thing. There was a promise not only that the virgin was going to be born, but also where he was going to be born at. And it came true. Every promise he made, every prediction, every prophecy, it came true. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's speaking about the future prophecy of what's going to happen. And do we know what's going to happen? Yes, it's going to happen because his promises are true. And then he said, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It's the zeal of the Lord. It's going to perform this. It's God is going to keep his word. He is a promise keeper. And that's, you say, what does that have to do with Christmas? It's because Christmas time, Joseph was able to say, my life has gone out of control because of what happened with Mary. And even though everything else and everyone else might be questioning and mocking and even reproaching him because of the truth, because he took Mary in to be a wife, he believed God's promises. He knew those promises. He knew about the Messiah. He had heard about it from a child and had been taught it from a child that it was going to be Bethlehem and that it was going to be a virgin. It all made sense to him. And I'm just trying to get to the point that there's Bible is filled with promises that we can expect and believe and trust in God to keep these promises. So when we consider Christmas this year, it's not about everything else. It's about the hope we have. And if we have hope, you know what we can do? We can offer other people hope. There is a hopeless people in the world today that don't have what many of us have, and a home to live in, and maybe food for every meal, and even parts of the country parts of the world that have never even heard about Christ. But if we are hopeless because things are not turning out, the family can't come, or the I don't have money to do this, and we walk around this Christmas season sad, and we walk around the season depressed because things aren't turning out the way we want, we have not put our faith and trust in him. We have not believed that God knows us and God knows where we're at, and if God wants us to have something, if God desires for us to have something, guess what? He can make it happen. And if he doesn't, our hope has not changed. And remember what the psalmist says, my hope is in thee. Just like last week we heard in the song, my hope is in Jesus, and my hope is Jesus, and it is who it is, and our hope should be in him. And so many times, things aren't going well. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get the present I wanted to get. All those different things, we put expectations. We're wishing for something. We're hoping for something when our hope should be found in him and him alone. So number one, our hope, we can have hope because of his promises. Number two is we can have hope because of his presence. We can have hope because of his presence. Go back to verse number 23 again. Which being interpreted is God with us. You know, he's called Emmanuel here. And he was called Emmanuel back in the Old Testament. He's going to be called Jesus as he's up and he's in. It's a Jewish name. He's going to be walking around. That's when he's going to be called here on earth. But we know him as Emmanuel because God himself took on the form of a servant. And he made himself of no reputation. He came as that babe and he humbled himself to the point that he laid aside his glory. He didn't lay aside his deity. He laid aside his glory to become man for us. And this principle is that Jesus dwelt among men, but he lives with us today. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. And he has promised us, I'm never going to leave thee. I'm never going to forsake thee. So our hope is found in thee. And we know that if someone is there, they know what is going on. And they see the problems and they try to help. Sometimes we hear stories about so-and-so had a need, but never told anybody. And we wish that we could help them. Man, I would have helped them. I would have went to their house and helped them move. Or I would have went to their house and done this. And we hear of a catastrophe happened or somebody else having something happen. And it just seems like it's so overwhelming. If they would have just mentioned it to somebody and would have said, hey, this is going to happen. Can you pray with me? Or is there a way you can help? All those different things. The truth is God is always with us. And it says that he is with us. And because of his presence, we can know that he knows everything that's going on in our life. And because he's God, he knows what he's going to do. And we can have hope in him because of not only the promises, but the presences of God. You know, there's supposed to be safety in certain jobs, but we've learned over the past 20 years, some of those jobs go away. The foundation of America family is crumbling. The place that should be safe for a kid to stay at is now, it's being torn apart. We have really, truly no hope in this world anymore. Our hope must be found in him. Over 1 million children yearly experience the divorce of their parents. A sense of community and being a good neighbor is largely something of the past. And if we consider all the different things that are going on in this world, you say, where is the hope? Where is the goodness? It's the fact that Jesus is there with us. He has promised us he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And he has seen all these things. And he is working his will out inside this world. And he wants to use you to work out this will. And he wants to use you to bring glory to himself. He wants to use you this Christmas season. And we're not going to be able to offer hope to the hopeless if our hope is wrapped up in wishing for things instead of knowing his presence, because it is not a worldly hope that we wish for something. We can say, I know that God says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is not just a wishing that God was there and that a wish that God knew. It is a promise and is hope that we have, and our hope is found in him. The third thing is, you know, when your dream becomes a nightmare, like in the story of Joseph, remember that our hope can still be in God's plan. When someone passes away, when God changes your job, or God changes some financial thing, we can still have hope in God's presence, knowing that he knows, but also that he has a plan. So we can hope in God's presence. We can hope in God's promises. And last but not least, we can hope in God's plans. We can have hope because of his plans. Look what it says in verse 24. You see Joseph's response. It doesn't say that Joseph thought about it. You know, back earlier, it was talking about while he was thinking on these things, that is when the angel came. But here in verse number 24, he knows God's will. We should not put it off. When we know God's will, it's something we should do. And we should do it automatically and quickly as God speaks to our hearts. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. So there is a plan that's happening. As soon as Joseph understands what is happening in his life, he reacts by faith. He doesn't question. He with this hope, he responds with faith. He doesn't question it. He goes, he takes Mary into his house and allows her to become his wife. And his response is pure faith. He still doesn't know how things are going to work out. He still doesn't know how God's going to handle all the things that is needed. But Joseph's decision must have shocked the whole community. Must have shocked his family, maybe even her family, but he responds in faith. Just because it may shock someone else, we still have to respond in faith. God has a plan for us. There was going to be a shame period of Mary's pregnancy because people did not know that God was at work. True faith does not shrink when the call of God comes because other people do not understand. True faith hears the voice of the Lord and simply does as it is told. So you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Because of the promises and because of his presence, we know he has a plan for our life. And when we hear God speak to us or we see what God wants us to do in his word, remember what we learned about this morning? We need to know who our Father is. We need to know what he expects and what he wants. And then we respond to that and we believe in his plan for us. Joseph does that. Happens immediately. Many times we think about it, we question it. I don't know how many times in my life God spoke to my heart to talk to somebody, and it made things a lot worse, the fact that I didn't take care of it when I should have. Sometimes, you know, pastors and people, they have differences of opinions or something like that, and sometimes God says, I want you to talk to them. You don't ever want to have to talk to somebody when they have a difference of opinion and things like that. So, and sometimes I put it off, and usually it's much worse at the end. It's because we need to do God's will immediately. And that's what Joseph does. He doesn't think about it. He doesn't go ask his buddy, hey, you know, Mary's got is with child. I had this angel and they said it's of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Maybe she's the one they were talking about in prophets. They would have laughed at him. They might have convinced him, hey, you don't want to have anything to do with that woman. And if you're seeing things at night, you should be careful. No one's going to believe that. Just go ahead and put her away privily. It's the nice thing to do anyway. Everyone's going to understand. No, he gets up and he does what he's supposed to do because he can believe in the promises of God. God's been faithful to fulfill all those promises. Now he knows that God's presence, Emmanuel, God is with us, that he's going to be with us, and now he can trust in his plan. So his hope responds with faith, his hope responds quickly, and then his hope responds by refraining. If you have your hope in God, you're not going to waste your life with things of pleasure in this world. As you see here in verse number 25, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus, means that he did not enter in that physical relationship because Jesus was supposed to be born of a virgin. So he refrains. He sees God's plan, and as he sees God's plan, to be a part of God's plan means I have to refrain from certain things. As we didn't get to this morning, but we looked at those verses, you know, those young men. He says, I've written unto you because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. But then what's the next thing? You can't be an overcomer and love the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There is a restraint that has to happen there. When God has a plan for you, and he has a purpose for you, and when he has his will for you, there are certain things that we can say, if I'm going to be an overcomer, if I'm going to respond by faith, if I'm going to believe in his plan, I can't love the things of this world because the love of the Father is not in you, or is not in them that love the world. And so here's the thing is, remember, the word of God abideth in you, but the love of the Father is not going to abide in you when you're loving the things of the world. You're not going to have the word of God abiding in you and the word of God reigning supreme in you and love the things of the world. And Joseph, he restrained himself. He says, you know what? I see God's plan. I understand God's purposes. And even though I may enjoy that relationship with my wife, I'm going to head and I'm going to wait because that's God's plan and that's God's purpose. Our lives are not all about to bring ourselves enjoyment. Our lives is to bring glory to God. And in this fire, we have hope in him. And his plan, his presence, and his promise. Are you hopeful this year? Right? Does it come out of you that you have something that can help somebody else? I don't know what you're going to do. I know times are tough, times are hard. And that's a response sometimes when things aren't going right. But if we're going to pass hope to the hopeless, we're going to have to trust and we're going to have to believe in his promises and in his presence and in his plan. Are we giving hope to others? Are we encouraging others to be hopeless? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed for a time of invitation.